Live from the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside guest co-host today, Luke Schaefer, American Family Insurance. Luke, how are you?
I am doing well. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, it's always nice when you're on the show because you were one of our original co-hosts for the sports show, remember, about 4 or 5 years ago.
I do remember. I bring in a little bit of history here.
Yes,
you do.
A
little bit of flavor, a little bit of history. There we go.
A little bit of greatness.
I wasn't going to say it, but you sure can.
And the check's in the mail.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. Okay, so anyway, American Family Insurance, and you're the, I want to say vice executive director.
Vice chairman of the board of directors.
I was just going to stop at vice. But, okay, the vice chairman.
Yes, the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, and you have, I'll tell you, this chamber is, what, the fastest growing chamber in Arizona?
Absolutely.
It's phenomenal.
Exploding.
Oh, it's exploding. And it's so, you know, so much different from years ago. Remember, we've talked about that.
Oh, by far.
And you guys have one of the, definitely the best team in Arizona when it comes to chambers. Actually, I'd say any organization.
I think so. It's one of the best, if not the best. In the Valley, especially if there's business owners out there looking to get involved on business to business, get some networking in and helping the community that their businesses operate in, this is definitely the chamber to be involved in.
There's no question about
and
it.
And you know what? You know, as the chamber grows and as everybody's businesses grow, we help each other out. So there's a lot of business to business there, and it's great. And it's great to know your neighboring businesses as well, along with charities.
And you definitely know how to network. I mean, you guys are network experts. And it's not about sales. It's about establishing relationships. It's about helping others. And
that's
it's always
correct.
About helping others.
That's correct. And what we try to do and what I think we do a phenomenal job of doing is providing that platform for people to network and to get to know each other on a business-to-business platform or a one-to-one type relationship. So I think we do a great job providing that through our luncheons and through our mix and mingles and open houses and all that kind of stuff. So great platform out there. If anybody's listening, it's a business owner. Get involved. Call us. Call us at the chamber. The light is always on.
Oh. That's like Hotel Six or
something.
Well,
that's true. It's not always on, but.
But Hotel Six is.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be our sponsor someday. Okay. And you have a mix and mingle coming up this Thursday, I believe.
Yes, here's what we have on the 21st, which is Thursday. We have a mix and mingle from 5:30 to 7:30 at Sol Mexican Casino at Scottsdale Road and Greenway Parkway. So it starts at 5:30 to 7:30. Get there. Usually we have over 100 and some business people there looking to talk, looking to make relationships, all that good stuff. The other thing we have coming up on the 3rd of December is the restaurant fundraiser to benefit Child and Family Resources at Upper Crust, which is at the 101 in Cave Creek. On the 6th of December, we have a golf gab and Grow Your Business. That's where people can hit 9 holes of golf. Talk about holding somebody's attention, because if you're in a foursome and you're golfing for 9 holes, there's nowhere else for the next 2 hours that person is going to go. Right? Besides the woods looking for their ball.
Unless you're Adam Sandler.
True.
And
very true.
What was that? Happy Gilmore. Anyone ever see Happy Gilmore?
Yeah, I did.
Then he could wander away.
Yeah.
And take on Bob Barker.
Okay. Golf Gab and Grow Your Business is on the 6th of December. It is at Stone Creek Golf Club.
Oh,
you can register for that on the Chamber website. The one other thing we have on the 10th of December is our one of our luncheons at that Moon Valley Country Club, another great networking event for business people. And that's at 7th Street in Thunderbird, and that's Moon Valley Country Club on the 10th.
And if they want to mix and mingle and see a live radio show this Thursday,
they come to the mix and mingle.
That
5:30 to 7:30.
That is so much fun. That's going to be great. So anyway, Luke, we have some great guests today. Yeah. Two people that belong to an organization or part of an organization that helps tremendously people in need. Both do a phenomenal job. And let's welcome our guest. Do you want to do the honors or you want me to?
I will let you.
Okay. This is like a game show. We have, of course, the program manager, Candace Alexander. Welcome, the American Lung Association.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. And Loni Padilla.
Padilla.
I said that right, didn't I? Padilla.
You were close.
I'm close. Only in
Grenades
and
Horseshoe.
Yeah, that's right. Manager of Special Events. Welcome, both of you. Both from American Lung Association in Arizona. That's got to be quite a reward. Anyone that works for charities, organizations that help people, there's no question in my mind that there's a passion. And it's not just the passion, but the reward is in seeing enhancement in people's lives, or at least just even helping someone. And let's start with Candace. Tell us a little bit about your experience working for the American Lung Association.
Well, as I often share with others that I work with, I came to the Lung Association to volunteer, and 2 weeks later was offered a job. So I had a passion for serving the organization and those that they serve. So it has been an exciting experience for me. And I have the opportunity to work with people with COPD and those who serve them, pulmonologists, respiratory therapists, other health educators, and community partners who share our mission.
That's fantastic. And we'll tell the listeners what COPD is in a minute, because it is COPD month right now. And Loni, tell us a little bit about what you do, your little brief history at the American Lung Association.
Absolutely. I've been there for almost 2 years now as a manager of special events. And it is very rewarding to be able to put on activities that help to raise funds for the organization that fund the vital programs and services that we do provide to the community. One of the things that Candace also works on is the COPD. We also do asthma awareness. Mm. We have a camp for children age 7 to 14, Camp Not a Wheeze. We do smoking cessation programs. There's all kinds of things that we do for the community.
What's some of the biggest issues, would you say, that face people right now when it comes to lung disease?
Well, certainly, and because it is COPD Awareness Month, COPD, which actually stands for Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease, is the third leading cause of death in the country, and here in Arizona, even before that, claiming over 250,000 Arizonan lives each year.
Ooh.
And it's an umbrella term, so that's where some of the confusion comes, but there are there's a spectrum of irreversible lung diseases that fall under that umbrella, including emphysema, chronic bronchitis, but also chronic asthma. That's asthma that has gone unmanaged and then ultimately causes remodeling in the lungs. It's what mimics emphysema. All of them making it very difficult to bring air in through the mouth and nose into the lungs, or even expelling bad air appropriately and fully.
You know, I remember years ago, and I moved to Arizona in 1994. Luke, when did you move here?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
2003.
Wow, nice.
Quick math.
That was good.
You like
that? That was very good.
You like how I bought time?
Yeah.
But it was such composure.
Yes.
You look great.
I just try to be as gracious.
Oh, there we go. But 1994. But even years before that, my mom lived here in, 80s, probably the 70s. You know, at one time, this was known as, if you had allergies or something, the place to be to help.
Yeah.
But I've heard recently it's not necessarily quite the place to be anymore, and I'm not sure why. I think it was, but a lot of swimming pools come into effect, and a lot of different trees and
well, the population quadrupled.
And that also, is that one of the bigger reasons?
More cars, mass transportation.
Yeah.
You know, there's industry that contributes. And then, as some say, even a weak genetic pool, you know, people who had lung issues who were genetically predisposed come here.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's a shame in a way, because it was known for that.
But, absolutely.
Wow. I still love it here, though.
I do too.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
3 years.
Wow.
Last month.
Really? From where?
Ohio. I was actually in Ohio for about 23 years.
Wow, what part?
I've lived all over the country. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, the Bengals are doing pretty good.
Yeah,
are
they are.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay. Red?
Yeah.
So good.
They
it's
did.
Over.
Yeah, they did okay.
Yeah.
Not that good. Too bad you weren't from Cleveland. You could talk about LeBron James.
I love LeBron James.
Yeah.
I'm not from Cleveland.
Oh. He is the best basketball player on the planet.
True.
I really think so. And he overcame maybe bad handling with that PR move. I don't believe it was his fault. I think NBC, everyone tried to make what they could off of that. And I think he is a good person. Don't you think so?
Most definitely.
Yeah. You want to play him one-on-one?
No.
Okay. Loni, how long have you been in Arizona?
I'm a native.
You are?
I am a native.
Wow. What have you seen since you've been here? Born.
Oh, I would have to age myself.
Well,
let's see.
Lots
computer,
of people.
Computer?
Yes.
ATM?
I love it. That was a good answer. That was good. Wow.
A lot of growth. When we purchased, or my dad actually built one of our first house, and it was on 39th Avenue in Dunlap.
Wow.
And we were in a field.
Not anymore.
And we used to fly kites in the field. Me and my brother
really?
Fly kites in the field, and there was a canal that went down the backside, and we would walk the canal and sit there and watch Metro Center being built.
Is that right?
Yeah. Couldn't wait for Metro Center to be opened. Yeah, it was really exciting.
That is incredible.
That is.
What do you remember? Oh, it's only
10 years ago?
You know what, believe it or not,
yeah.
10 years ago when I moved in my house,
yeah.
there really wasn't anything there either.
Really?
Yeah. And now it's
everywhere.
Yeah. It's fully built out.
So the native, how do natives feel about this? Is it like, oh, way too much growth? Or, yeah, bring on the growth because of other reasons. What?
I think growth is good.
Yeah.
It needs to be managed, I believe, you know, because of the pollution that we are experiencing.
Yeah.
Candace and I work downtown, so we drive into it. We see that brown cloud as we're driving.
Oh.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yes.
What is that?
I know what it is, but let's
yeah.
I know you have a better explanation than
that's a good
what
point.
I can give. Yeah.
Well, we could use a number of euphemisms, but smog.
Yeah.
Smog.
Right. Which is made up of
dust.
Oh, mainly dust?
Oh, really?
A lot of dust and dirt.
So that smog that we see when we're driving in is a lot of dust in there.
You know, we have an airport that's, you know, a very short distance from downtown.
That's right.
You know, right there in the valley. Some scientists have said that they've absolutely proven we're receiving ground ozone from the L.A. area. So, you know, I think there's been a lot of speculation and then some science behind a lot of it. But, you know, you can see it, so you can't deny it. And depending on which way the wind is blowing, you know, for patients with lung disease, it really can be an issue. So we encourage them to do things like go on the Internet, look up some of the live maps that they can determine what the air quality is like in their area and whether or not it's a good day to even go out and run errands.
Absolutely.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah, I have the same one you have. What's L.A. ozone?
Yeah, L.A.
ozone.
Sounds
like a movie, right?
And I'm sure that listeners would be interested in where those sites are to find
mm-hmm.
what was the air quality.
Well, the American Lung Association has air quality site. We also release a report annually on the air quality across the country. Maricopa County also has a live map, and there's also a website called airnow.com. And so, you know, they operate on the sensors that are established throughout the valley.
Oh.
And you can literally go in to determine what the air quality is like, say, downtown versus North Scottsdale versus Glendale versus Sun City.
And on our website as well, www.lungarizona.org, there is the State of the Air report where you can find reports on a national basis. If you're looking to move into a city or move from a city, you can click on that state to see what their ratings are for.
That is fabulous.
Air. Yeah.
And that's lungarizona.org?
You can go there. You can go to lung.org as well.
Lung. And then What is BreatheEasyAZ.org?
BreatheEasyAZ.org is out of the COPD Collaborative.
Gotcha.
Which is a state-funded project that pays for my job and my counterpart in Tucson and our team and the work that we do. We co-host a COPD statewide coalition that consists of patients, caregivers, healthcare providers, again, health educators, and people who are interested in saving the lives of those with lung disease or preventing it from occurring and affecting lifestyle behaviors.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. That's a good segue to COPD Month. And tell us more about that. First of all, how long has it been, November been the month? Is this a recent situation, or this has been a while?
Yeah, it's one of the health observances through the National Institutes of Health. You can literally pull up a calendar, and practically every month there are a number of health observances. So November is COPD Awareness Month. It also includes Lung Cancer Awareness Month. It also includes the Great American Smokeout, which is this coming Thursday.
Oh, really? Tell us about that.
What is Great American Smokeout, which actually was founded by the American Cancer Society every third Thursday to raise awareness about smoking, prevent youth from smoking, encouraging people to quit smoking either on that day or preparing to quit on that day. So because it's an issue that's so near and dear and relevant, obviously, to people with lung disease, we collaborate with organizations such as the Arizona Department of Public Health, STAND, which is a group that works particularly with youth, in raising awareness about smoking and the devastation of smoking and why it doesn't make sense to start. And, you know, the tobacco industry does, in fact, target that population by far. And so, you know, we do what we can to get our messaging in to let them know where they can end up. One out of six people with COPD have never smoked. However, smoking is absolutely the greater cause, and it affects us from head to toe. It affects our skin, our circulatory system, our musculature, our hair, our lungs, our heart, you know, our kidneys, our liver. There's no escaping the
damage. And families.
Families.
Secondhand smoke, I suspect.
Secondhand smoke is absolutely a risk. So, you know, I said one out of six people who get COPD have never smoked, but perhaps, you know, they sat in the back seat on the family vacation with their family with the windows rolled up and dad and or mom were smoking. But guess what?
Right.
The kids in the back were smoking as well. And then there are people who are genetically predisposed. They have a deficiency. Of a gene called alpha-1 antitrypsin, which produces or is the protein that protects the lining of the lung, develops in the liver, and if the gene is deficient, they're unable to get that protein to the lungs. Of course, the lungs are the only organ that's exposed to outside air. So without that protection, you know, their ability for their lungs to function appropriately diminishes more quickly than for those of us who have the gene. Of course, if they smoke, their lung function goes down like that.
Oh, I can imagine.
Down dramatically.
Wow. So is smoking the campaign that I know you probably have along with some other organizations, is it cutting down people who smoke? I mean, I see a lot of, like, teenagers still seem to smoke.
Well,
and where is that coming from?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's a whole different topic.
That is a whole other show.
it's sad and tragic. Look at you. You've probably seen that, too. It's like, wait a minute. How could they still be smoking after all the knowledge, information, the publicity, the media on the causes of, I mean, the huge detrimental effect of smoking? And it sort of blows me away how people still do them.
Well, there's a lot of science and big dollars that are behind getting people to smoke. The tobacco industry knows, for instance, that the chemicals that allow us to make rational thought hasn't kicked in until about the age of 26. So their goal really is to get people smoking around the age of 12 and cook by 19. And, you know, because of all the addictive qualities, they pretty much will have a customer for life. And unfortunately, there's all the psychological issues that are tied into it at a time when it's most important for us to feel like we have a sense of belonging.
The peer pressure.
And the peer pressure, all the messaging, it'll make you gorgeous, it'll help you get a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a fast car, the big house. All of that, but in fact, it does just the opposite. You know, when you think about the fact that in some cities, a pack of cigarettes is $10 a pack.
Wow. I had no idea.
What you do with that accumulated over the course of a year. But it also causes your skin to wrinkle prematurely. It causes you to lose your teeth. Dentists are some of the first people to notice when mouth disease occurs as a result of smoking. So, you know, whether it's the smoke products that are smoked or the smokeless products, they all lead ultimately to death, or at least very serious and irreversible diseases.
Wow. You know, I was, I'll just tell a little quick story here. I recently got married.
Congratulations.
I knew you would be laughing. Okay. Yeah, so I did. And I just got back from my honeymoon about a week ago. I was gone for 2 weeks. And we're sitting at the dinner table. It might have been, was it dinner or breakfast? I think it was breakfast. And they put you on these cruises, they put you with other people,
right,
usually. Which is sort of interesting. You meet these people. And here's this really big guy. He must be like 6'4". And, he looked like, he was probably 60, maybe, 325 pounds. I mean, tall but big. And he's smoking. And we all go around, say who you are and what you do. And he's a physician.
Isn't that shocking?
I thought it was a little shocking because here he is smoking. And there was a comment made like, you're a physician and you know what that means. But that's the addictive nature, perhaps, of smoking?
That's a topic for another day.
It's sad, though, right? I mean, is that sad or what?
Well, people that work in high-stress situations, obviously.
Physicians are high-stress.
It's a coping mechanism of choice, unfortunately,
by
many. And, the message that we try to get across, particularly because people are diagnosed so late with these diseases, is to get tested. So, if you have a persistent cough, first of all, we tell people if you've smoked 100 or more cigarettes in your lifetime.
Oh, really?
If you have a persistent cough, if you have excess mucus and phlegm buildup, particularly in the morning, if you feel like you can't catch your breath, just doing normal everyday activities. And oftentimes we'll make excuses. I need to lose weight. I'm getting older. I need to hit the gym more. But quite possibly you need to get tested to at least determine whether or not you have the disease. The thing with COPD is that currently there's no cure. But the diseases can be prevented through the lifestyle behaviors of not smoking, exercising, but also they can be managed. So, for instance, if you've lost 10% of your lung capacity, you can manage that pretty well and function very well over a period of time. If you get diagnosed at 50% lung capacity, which actually is the level that most people are diagnosed at, that's where they maintain. But anytime they have an event, they get pneumonia, catch a bad cold, they drop down. And that's where they maintain. So we really try to get people, first of all, to ask for a spirometry test if they're exhibiting any of the symptoms we mentioned, the wheezing, the shortness of breath, not being able to breathe fully, not being able to exhale fully, the mucus and phlegm buildup, persistent cough, or what we call smoker's cough, that they ask their doctor for a spirometry test. It is the gold standard for determining whether a person has COPD. It's as important to COPD as a blood pressure screening is for hypertension. It's the definitive test. And then if they've been diagnosed, to talk to their doctor about, what they can do to remain compliant with their medication, the fact that they can still exercise, and in fact they need to exercise. They need to do everything they can to stay as fit as they possibly can, again, to maintain that level that they are.
Yeah.
They'll never get back to full capacity, but they at least can
maintain
where they are.
Let me ask you this. That's amazing information that hopefully the listeners will take very seriously, if not necessarily just for themselves, but their families and friends. But once you have in that some type of disease like this, from lung disease, are you more susceptible to pneumonia, bronchitis, those type of things?
Absolutely. Mm. And so they need to protect themselves against all environmental exposures, whether it be secondhand smoke, again, bad air quality on those days that that's occurring in their area. But they do need to exercise. You know, there are certain, I mean, some people, you know, have other exposures like dust, fumes, other chemicals that are exuded maybe in their job setting. So, you know, they need to figure out how to protect themselves or eliminate that exposure. But they absolutely are more susceptible because, you know, there's a weakness there now that's occurring.
That's amazing. And another question I have, and then we'll take a quick break. Smog that we talked about, that stuff that when you drive downtown you can see. Now, I grew up in L.A. I mean, I can see the brown stuff going to L.A. because it was everywhere. I mean, the San Fernando Valley, it was really horrible. I don't know. How do we compare, by the way, to L.A.? You know?
That's a good question.
I heard where it's pretty bad here.
Yeah. You know, and again, you can go in on the live maps, and that changes on any given day. I had a couple that came in our office one day that were looking to move further north, but still within the metropolitan area, because when they visited their friends in North Scottsdale, they said that the wife didn't suffer as badly as when they lived in North Central Phoenix.
Oh.
But we pulled up the live map, and on that particular day, the air quality was actually better in North Central Phoenix than it was up in North Scottsdale. So, again, it behooves people who are dealing with lung disease to check those maps. And, you know, again, if they have a lot of running around to do on that particular day, if they can wait until tomorrow, you know, it certainly would behoove them to do so versus going out. You know, sometimes it's real apparent if the wind's blowing and we can see the dust.
Right.
You know, it's better to err on the side of caution and use some common sense and stay indoors.
Now, smog, how do can you prevent that? I mean, here we are in a city that has smog. I think we're the sixth largest city right now. We fell off the pace, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We were the fifth. Well, now that we're the sixth, but I think we're growing in over.
Who turned us over?
I think it's Philadelphia.
Oh, I believe it.
I think so. I made that up. Okay. No, not really. I didn't make it up. I really think it is Philadelphia. But anyway, it's impressive whether it's fifth or sixth. But the smog, how do you prevent that? Here you are in, which I think is a really nice city out here. I like Phoenix a lot. L.A., not so crazy about. Disneyland is nice, though. But the thing is, how do you prevent that? Because here we are, you could do all the other stuff right. You can exercise. You can obviously, you know, make sure you don't smoke and be around chemicals and blah, blah, blah. But how much does the smog impact the average person? Hey, that was a good question.
Wow, that was...
Yeah, well, I think over time it's affecting all of us. I attended one of the miracle tours at St. Joe's Hospital, and they were showing lungs, and one of the docs laughed and said, this person obviously didn't live in the Phoenix area because there weren't a lot of black spots on their lungs.
Oh.
Or, you know, some evidence of exposure to bad air. But, you know, there are a lot of organizations out there, some that we work with, you know, they're among our collaborative partners that are involved in issues, you know, like maybe, you know, not having, just recently we were having a conversation, I think it was in Colorado, where they're establishing an effort to get parents not to idle their cars around school.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of exposure that kids have as a result of disorders and idling was something like 10 packs of cigarettes if they stay in there for 5 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, it's astronomical.
Really?
Yeah, and I may not have the exact numbers, but it took my breath away. Just hearing it, or even the school buses, you know, so things like ride sharing, not idling your car,
right?
You know, maybe taking a bike to work if you
know,
telecommuting. We have the opportunity to telecommute once a month for that reason. So
or even the leaf blowers, you know,
they're bad too.
Yeah, they kick up a lot of dust and debris.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah,
in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a homeowner association, and there they are. Not only is it loud and annoying at 4 in the morning, I'm exaggerating, maybe 6 in the morning. But you're right, the dust is like everywhere.
Yeah.
And they have the mask on. I go, excuse me, do you have an extra mask?
And sometimes they don't.
I know.
Wow.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
There should be a law about that, right? Why don't they have
there,
blogs
there,
like
there are people working on it. Well, you know, every law starts with some grassroots effort.
That's true.
You know, people like yourself who are just sick and tired of
oh, yeah.
doing
mm-hmm.
it and don't want to do it anymore, and they get out and advocate for change and
yeah.
make it happen. So.
Wow, that's a good question. When we come back from our break, why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, I'm going to ask that question. How involved is the American Lung Association with politics, legislation changes? And I think that will be very important to understand. And, of course, we're live here at the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. We're here with Luke Schaefer, vice executive. Wait, how did I do that? Vice director.
Chairman.
Okay. Close, of course. Candace Alexander and Loni Padilla of the American Lung Association. And we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking live at the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host. And we are here with Luke Schaefer, of course, the vice chairman. I got it right that time.
The vice.
I've only known you 15 years.
He's called right. Me the vice.
Oh, the vice.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like Hawaii 5-0 and the vice squad and
Miami.
Miami vice.
That's right.
What is your vice? Okay. That's a different show in itself. And, of course, we are honored to have in studio here two amazing people from the American Lung Association, Loni Padilla, Manager of Special Events, and Candace Alexander, Program Manager, COPD. And that is COPD Month, and we've talked about this. And, of course, people can hear a replay of this show because it's valuable, and I should say it's invaluable, actually, on BreakRadioShow.com. That's BreakRadioShow.com. Go to Archives under North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce, and you will see this. Very important to hear this information, especially if you have some issues, you know, with anything with the lungs, or if you're smoking or anything like that. I'm sure, in fact, let me ask you, do you have certain programs or referral sources if someone calls you up, like a teenager, and say, hey, I'm smoking and I can't seem to kick the habit?
We do. We partner, first of all, with an organization called Ashline, which is a lung quit line that offers phone counseling and a number of other services. We also, on our website, and again, I can't mention this enough, thelungarizona.org, there's just a plethora of resources there to assist people. Our signature program, which is Freedom from Smoking, we've trained a number of organizations with facilitators to be able to offer that clinic, and so they can go and look that up on our website as well.
You know, that's valuable, and because it is, you know, if you think about it, you know, if you're a teenager, I remember, I know it's hard to believe, but I do remember when I was a teenager, and, you know, that's a scary time sometimes. I mean, who do you talk to? How about you three? Do you remember those days?
Absolutely.
Vaguely.
Absolutely.
Ah, vaguely. Come on, you both, all three of you are young.
And it's possible to quit smoking, which is really important.
Oh, so this is an important topic.
It is. Uh-huh. It is.
So it is possible.
I used to be a smoker.
Yeah?
I was a smoker.
How did
and
you do it?
It takes several tries to quit.
Yeah.
For me, you know, and it's different for everybody, it really is. For me, it was cold turkey.
You know, my dad was like that. He smoked all his life. One day he was fed up with many things about it, but he was most fed up like, oh, he's out of cigarettes, and he didn't want to go to the store. It was inconvenient.
Yeah.
Boom, he just stopped.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it was cumulative effect of other things, like psychologically knowing, hey, this isn't good, and impacting, you know, maybe many different things. So,
absolutely.
So cold turkey.
Yeah, I just I pretty much told myself I could never touch a cigarette again.
Good for you.
Wow.
Never again.
How long has it been? Sorry. Yeah, how long? No, I like yours.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Luke's question was very good.
14 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Oh. Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel terrific. What's remarkable to me is I don't think about it. So that's it's a freedom. It really is. It's freedom from smoking because you just don't think about it anymore.
So did something lead up to that event where you just said, I'm not going to smoke anymore?
You know, I was never a heavy smoker.
Oh, okay.
But I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was relaxing to me. I smoked after work.
Yeah.
I didn't smoke during the day. I smoked when I went out with my friends, like a lot of the, you know, young kids do these
things. Was
that
more of a social type of thing?
It was very social, yeah. But I knew it wasn't good for me, and I knew I wasn't feeling the way I should be.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't for me anymore. And it was tough to quit because you still have that social aspect when you're young, and it's hard to kind of break away from that. But I think with the laws that we do have and the facts that you can't smoke now in bars and restaurants.
I like
and,
that.
Yeah.
I love
work,
that.
You know, it's really nice, yeah. Absolutely.
I wish they would do that in Las Vegas now.
With the casino?
Yeah.
That's a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, I bet it would be. I mean, they can't even get rid of the people that walk on the street and go like this. Ever see that?
Never.
Oh, come on.
You're the printer.
No, yeah. No, I mean, those, you know, not a, ever, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, good. Don't go there.
Since you stopped smoking, how much money would you say you have saved?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I wouldn't even know. I was actually standing in line at a Circle K the other day behind an elderly woman that was buying a pack of cigarettes, and it was nearly $80. I about fell out. I couldn't believe
$80?
$80
for cigarettes
or for a carton of cigarettes.
So would you say you spend $2,000 a year?
Probably.
So about 20.
Probably.
Check my math on that. $28,000.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's the new car.
I can't assure that for you.
What type of car do you have?
Just kidding. It could have been a Mercedes.
Okay.
Cadillac.
Oh, yes. No, but that's good hope. I'm glad you mentioned that because then it gives hope for people out there that you can stop. You can.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it takes 7 to 10 tries for most people.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say, well, I've tried that. It's like, great.
You're closer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Wow, that is incredible. Now, speaking of Las Vegas, we'll get to the political thing in a second. I think you said Gail the Strat. Is that what you said?
Gail
the Strat. I guess I don't spell very well. But I'm Gail the Strat. So talk about that. I think this is – I love Las Vegas. I don't gamble. I don't drink. But the lights and the shows are cool.
Absolutely. And this is a chance to go for free.
Really? So tell us, how does that work?
Well, we're looking for 10 or more elite members of our Phoenix travel team.
Travel team.
This team will raise $1,250 each.
Oh.
We provide round-trip airfare from Phoenix to Vegas and back, and then put you up 2 nights at the Stratosphere.
Wow, and you have to climb the Stratosphere?
You can climb the Stratosphere. If you'd like, you can sleep in, or you can volunteer.
Take the elevator.
Do they have a good buffet as you watch?
They do have a good buffet.
No, so tell the Strat, that's a tall building.
It is. It's 108 flights of stairs.
And you go up the stairs. You don't climb outside the Stratosphere.
No, you go up the stairs, not climb the stairs.
I thought that would be more exciting. Wow, 108 flights of stairs. That Luke, I mean, you are did you know Luke was an athlete?
A physical challenge, absolutely.
He was an All-American in college at North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota State, right.
Yeah.
All-American safety.
Yeah.
Could you do that today?
No, back then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, probably twice.
108. Can you imagine? I just can't even
now,
imagine.
What is that? That's
I'll probably sleep in.
1,455 steps.
1,455 steps.
That's high.
Do they have to come down, too?
You could take the elevator down.
Oh.
Yeah.
But going up is the hardest part.
Yeah.
Going down, you could just roll down.
That's
all right, don't do this at home. Okay. No, don't roll down. That would be dangerous. But that, so when is this? When
this is going to be in March. So they have up until February to raise their funds.
Wow.
And then
10 people.
10 people.
How do you sign up to be?
Yeah.
You actually go, it's kind of a long URL, but it's Scale the Strat Travel Team. .com.
Luke, what do you say?
Can
we try it?
No.
No,
I mean, I think
we'll
you
just
can.
Go.
I'll raise the money for you.
Okay.
Oh,
go.
I didn't say it live, did
absolutely.
I? Yeah. Oh, I did. Now
and witnesses.
Yeah, there's 23 million witnesses. Wow, that's really cool. So you raise money for good cause. That's obviously
absolutely.
The most important thing. And but, you know, that's a fun event.
It is a fun event. It is a fun event. We've got some highly competitive people.
Oh. Oh, it's a race to the top.
It is. It's a competitive race up to the top, and it's done by age brackets and categories.
And do you win something when you get to the top?
I'm sure you do. I'm sure they have a little something for you when you get to the top.
Wow.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh. What happens when they say something like that? Wow, that is incredible.
Absolutely.
And a sideline note, Luke, the media challenge, I think, is coming again for the Raptors.
Is it? When is it?
I don't know. It's coming up in a month.
I'll start training.
Yes.
Definitely. I'm there for
yeah. All right. Cool. So that is those are some good events. What other events do you have going on right now or in the future?
Well, yesterday, if I can take a moment, we had our Fight for Air Climb in downtown Phoenix, and I really want to thank everybody for coming out to that. We had over 240 people. Climbed Renaissance Square, 53 flights of stairs. We had over 50 volunteers that were out there helping us put the event together, and it really was a lot of fun. We had a kids climb this year. My daughter ran in it.
Really?
She did 26 flights of stairs in 6 minutes and 32 seconds.
How old is
she? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How old
she's 8.
And she, wow, that's very nice.
She's 8.
How about little Mason, my little grandson? He should do the Stratosphere.
Yeah.
Tire him out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put him to bed, and then we can go out at night.
There you go.
So that would be the way to go. Yeah, well, I don't think he runs out of energy, though.
It didn't look like
kids
it.
Kids don't. No, and lucky the plug is still there. Okay.
Yeah.
Will Jason outlaw him from ever stepping foot in here again?
I think he already did.
Oh, okay. I did see the get out of jail card. So that was a big event. And other things, during the year, you must have a bunch of events going on.
We have
on.
A lot of activities going on this week, because Wednesday is World COPD Day.
Oh.
We have a Twitter chat that's going on. So anyone who's on Twitter or anyone who's interested in getting on Twitter, it only takes about 5 minutes to register an account. Our hashtag is hashtag COPD.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy Patterson, who is a veteran respiratory therapist, instructor at Gateway Community College and facilitates two Better Breathers Clubs, which I hadn't mentioned, which is another one of our signature programs that is a support group for people with COPD, their caregivers, family and friends, and there are about 20 of them throughout the state. They're hosted monthly at each location. They bring in subject matter experts to present on a number of topics to keep patients educated. So the Twitter chat will be an opportunity to ask Kathy questions, and she'll be talking about COPD in general, some hitting some very specific topics, and also discussing our most recent, recently reduced report, The Rise of COPD in Women.
Oh, really? Can you give us a little preview why that is?
Well, you know, I think they've calculated about the time that women started heavily being targeted by the tobacco industry and the results that we're seeing now with the lung disease, lung cancer, COPD, and so forth among women.
So the tobacco industry specifically targeted women?
Well, you know, they target everyone. But, there was an increase in targeting women. Around the time the Virginia Slims commercial, that wasn't the first brand focused on women. There were actually some prior to that. There was one called Gentle that was particularly targeting women who had just had new babies.
Oh, you're
letting
kidding.
Them know that it was a cigarette that they could smoke around their new baby.
Wow.
It had real gentle and, you know, compassionate verbiage in the ads. Yeah.
That should be outlawed.
Wow.
Don't you think, Luke?
You bet.
Okay. I'm voting for Luke for president. No, I mean, I know it's tough, that free enterprise type stuff, but still, I mean.
Well, there are things that we can change, and, you know, you mentioned policy earlier. We have a Lung Action Network. So for anyone who really is interested in having a voice in all of this legislative platform, can go into lungarizona.org, click on the Lung Action Network, and they will find out about different issues that are up for discussion. We will send out alerts when they register to them, letting them know when legislators need to hear that, hey, we don't want those leaf blowers blowing, you know, at the front door of our hospital or whatever.
Right.
Or down the street during rush hour when everyone's sitting there at the red light with their windows down. We're very interested in keeping tobacco products out of our state that clearly target children, where the casing looks like cell phones. And when you pop them open, more than one product pops out, like little sheets or little sticks or little orbs, that they can sit in class in the fourth grade and pop in their mouth and no one's the worse for wear but them.
Wow.
So, you know, they can find out about issues like that relative to what we've talked about today and to have a voice, because sometimes that's all people want is just to have a voice in all of this, to be able to affect it in some way.
You know, it's interesting. It's unfortunately, it seems like to me, and we'll get your take on it too, is often big business seems to control policy through their lobbyist groups. Doesn't it look that way?
Oh, absolutely.
It drives me nuts.
Small dog, but, you know.
But still, it's
there are many of us, so we just do what we can do. I mean, e-cigarettes right now, you know, we're not included in most states' smoke-free policies. They didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, one thing we do know, and we've released a statement on it now, is that, you know, They make use of a cartridge that's filled with a liquid nicotine and a number of other toxins. We don't know them all. They haven't had to divulge them because FDA doesn't regulate them yet.
And what are these?
The e-cigarette.
E-cigarette.
They call
them vapor.
So they're all these vapor bars that are popping up all over.
And what do you do with those?
You smoke them.
Are
they
a vapor
bar?
I mean,
well, it's like a you know, if
electronic,
you
cigarette. Electronic cigarettes.
You've
yeah.
seen them.
I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen the ones that I thought got you off the habit.
Well, that's how they're promoted as a smoking cessation product.
And they're not.
Well, no, they have
wow.
nicotine and other addictive chemicals in them. So it's the only thing they don't include is tar that we know of, and. But, you know, it's just a replacement, and, you know, for the time that people can get away with it until policy changes
right.
and prohibits
Amazing.
Those as
yeah.
well, we don't encourage them, we don't endorse them, and, you know, we know that they can be harmful. And the vapor that comes off, clearly if it makes use of a nicotine, liquid nicotine cartridge, the vapor that comes off is not water, it's nicotine.
Oh, my.
Nicotine vapor. Mm.
And
wow.
is there an age limit?
Oh, you mean with regards to selling them?
Yeah, to buying them.
They have to be 18.
We're
hearing from a lot of the schools and high schools from their principals that they're confiscating these in classes because they look like pens.
Pens?
Mm-hmm.
Who
yeah,
makes these things?
They have a cartridge. Yeah,
really?
Mimic of, yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
And when you see people with them, you know, it really draws your attention because you think, well, what are they doing? And they're blowing out this white vapor when they blow it out.
So if it looks like a pen, like here's my favorite pen. Looks nice, doesn't it? Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So people go like this a lot with
mm-hmm.
the pen, and
mm-hmm.
it could have been, oh, what's this vapor? No,
no
that I haven't seen that. Luke, have you seen
I
that?
Have.
Where do you see this stuff?
That's
just
my
out
product.
And about, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And what's the age group? Is it usually the younger kids?
Well, you know, again, yeah, but anyone who smokes is targeted because, again, they're sold as smoking cessation products, and they're not.
Really? Wow.
But youth, I think, will always be targeted. I think two of the companies, Big Tobacco, are producers. There's a company right here in Scottsdale that's one of the major producers of one of the brands of e-cigarettes.
Wow.
Now.
Maybe we should do an investigative report.
Oh.
Go in and ask some of the COOs and CEOs and high-level people that, or even anyone there, and say, do you realize what you're contributing to?
Yeah.
See, to me, it seems like, I mean, without knowing everything, it seems like greed is still a thing that runs so much in the world, don't you think? Wow, I didn't want to get political, but
oh,
I
you did.
It's not really quite political. I think it's a human condition. I think greed tends to create values that don't really support the greater good, it seems like.
Well said.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And sadly, I think it's gotten into our politics. I won't go into much in politics, but I think when you can get funds for campaigns without knowing who's contributing it, that sounds scary to me. No, really, think about it. The Supreme Court allowed that. What was that called? The citizen something case. And but it just seems scary. I know there's a fine line, you know, the freedom stuff. But if there's like millions of dollars coming from one person, where is that one person? Where do they live? And what do they want? I don't know. It sounds scary.
Speaking about donating, how can folks
donate
and help and volunteer?
Well, we've got, again, several different events.
Yeah.
You can always donate right online at lungarizona.org. And actually, that's a good segue because we're still accepting donations for the Fight for Air Climb that we have on Sunday.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to donate to that, just go to climbphoenix.com, and you can make a donation right online. And then we've got the Scale the Strat, and if you want, you can mark your calendars for April 26th. We're going to have the Fight for Air walk in Scottsdale. That's something
right.
Free pancake breakfast, beautiful 5K walk.
Yes.
Bounce house is very family friendly.
Now, do you sponsor that?
Put it on as a fundraiser for the American Lung Association.
Because yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember, it was about 2 years ago. We were on another station, and an AM station actually, And I think it might have been the American Heart Association we had on. I can't remember. But they mentioned that event because you do it every year, right?
We do it every year.
And
we're currently looking for sponsors.
Yeah, so
we have
some
wonderful folks that are currently sponsoring Phoenix Coyotes Cancer Treatment.
Well, yeah, the Coyotes sponsored it 2 years ago, too, I think it was. And, yeah, because I remember we had in studio the wife of Jason LaBarbera.
Yes.
Was that must have been, it must have been the American Lung Association.
It was.
So you have been on our show before. But it wasn't you two. Yeah, because we had Codette LaBarbera.
Well, that's nice if another organization is talking about our event. I think
that's great. Well, I think it was you guys. No?
No.
Check the archive. I'm going to check the archive. Well, this is great. So what other ways can people contribute? Now, monetarily, obviously, but how about volunteers? You need volunteers.
Absolutely. Definitely. We need them for our special events that we have. We had 50 registered for the climb on Sunday. They helped us to do the event setup, registration, takedown. We also need volunteers Monday through Friday in the office to help. We're a small but mighty staff, so we can always use volunteer support from administrative perspective with mailings and research and those types of things. So they can just give our office a call at 602-258-7505 to volunteer.
And what type of skill sets are you looking for?
Computer is nice to have computer skills, but we don't need strong technical skills because there's a variety of different things that we would have folks do.
That's excellent. I mean, it is, you know, it's so important. I don't think people realize that, you know, revenue is so precious for organizations, and to allocate that to the necessary support functions is so critical, but volunteering time helps that.
Absolutely.
Which is, because you started, right, you said, as a volunteer.
Absolutely. I came to do whatever they had available for me to do. We also have a speakers bureau, so anyone who's interested in presenting to corporations, schools, any community organization that wants to know more about these topics, we have people who go to the media and present for us, like we're doing today, our radio and television stations, and helping to raise awareness about the issues, the diseases that we're here to fight. Again, as Loni mentioned, sometimes we need technical skills, but not always. Sometimes we need people just to make phone calls.
Yeah.
To stuff envelopes. So, you know, we use anyone from students who are looking for community service hours to professional adults that simply are compassionate and passionate about the community that we serve.
How long has the American Lung Association been around?
Wow, we turned 100 last year.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, right along with the state of Arizona.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That is a credit to talk about sustainability.
Yes.
That's phenomenal. Back 100 years ago, though.
Yeah, we started out as a tuberculosis organization.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Once it came underhand, then we started focusing on other things like smoking cessation and lung research and asthma.
Wow, that is fantastic, and I so much admire both of you for, you know, being part of such a great cause, helping people, and that's got to make you feel good and help you. Right. That is incredible. Can you believe the show is almost over? Have you noticed that I only had one break? I suspended commercials because I can do that. Just so we can get more information. Yeah, I could do that.
What you've been doing on
the show. And anyway, thank you so much. Tell us, again, the contact information, how people can help, contribute, be involved.
Right. They can call our local phone number, 602-258-7505. They can go on our website, lungarizona.org, or breatheeasyaz.org.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Candace Alexander and Loni Padilla. Luke Schaefer, always a pleasure
seeing you
and being here at the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, next month we'll be here again with another great guest. We'll be there Thursday for the Mix and Mingle. A lot of great events. And everyone, have a great night. Thank you again for coming in.
Thank you.
The American Lung Association, contribute, you'll feel great about yourself and help so many people. And we'll be on, of course, tomorrow and 6 days a week. And we're on 1480 KPHX every Saturday, 10 to 2. Have a great night.